Study Day, the Torah, Rabbi Dr. Springer.
Good morning to you all. You might think it's surprising that on the 36th day of the Omer, I'm going to be speaking about Sviras Omer. You know, a little bit possibly late in the day, but you will soon see the relevance of what we're saying this particular time and juncture in the Omer. Last week was a very special week, the week of Hoid, and in that week we have both Pesach Sheni and also Lag BaOmer. And there's a machlokes in the Achronim about when did the mon start falling. Certainly it was about a month after Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was in Iyar, and most of them hold that it was Pesach Sheni around then. Chassam Sofer holds Eishita bringing a medrash that it was like Boimer. So certainly in last week, at some point, the mon started falling, and that's going to be significant for our particular shir. So, as I said, we're going to talk about Sviras Omer, and we all know the posuk was Sfaratim Lochem Mimochras HaShabbos. But there are two parashias in this week's Seder and last week's Seder in Emoah, and the first parasha is the parasha of Korban Omer. And we're told that on a certain day, we're meant to bring a Korban Omer. We know what it is, it's a Omer of barley. And the Torah says, in relation to Korban Omer, that when are we meant to bring it? Mimochras HaShabbos Yanifenu HaKoen. There's a certain waving ceremony that goes on. So the Torah says, you should bring this Korban Omer, Mimochras HaShabbos. Everybody knows, Chazal tell us, that Mochras HaShabbos does not mean Sunday. Mochras HaShabbos means the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach, which means the 16th of Nisan. Okay, so that's we've got as far as the mitzvah of Korban Omer is concerned. We've got the 16th of Nisan. But then the next parasha talks about what we call Sviras HaOmer. That's our name for it. The Torah never calls it that. It just says V'Sfarat Lechem, etc. But our name for it, very well known, Sviras HaOmer. But the Pasuk says as follows, U'sfaratim lochem mimochras HaShabbos. When should we start counting? Mochras HaShabbos. I already know what Mochras HaShabbos is from the previous parasha, from Korban Omer, that it's the 16th of Nisan, the day after the first day of Pesach. That would be enough. That's the day you start counting the Omer. Torah is quite clear. But it goes on. Mi'oim ha'viyachim ha'sayim ha'chanufo. From the day you bring the Omer. Well, that's telling me the same thing twice, essentially. I know Mochras HaShabbos from the previous parasha. I know Mi'oim Aviyachim Mesoim HaTanufo is that same day. So why is the Torah telling me something twice? 16th of Nisan, 16th of Nisan. Could be, said this before, but it's very well worth hearing again. I think Rav Hirsch has a wonderful ha'orah on this particular question of why the tautology, why are we hearing the same thing twice? And he puts it this way. I'll put it in my own words. He does it in the German, of course. But I'll put it in sort of plain English. And he says as follows, that if you ask yourself the question, what does the common man in the street, not necessarily he, the man in the street, what does he want out of life, and what does he want out of his government? What does he want his government to do? Well, he'll tell you, you know, what I want to is that there should be a police force so that I can walk safely on the streets. I want there to be an army, so that if my country is attacked, I should be defended. I want hospitals, so that if I fall ill, I should be able to go somewhere, hospital, etc. In other words, he's saying that what I need is, for my government, is security. I want security. That's not enough. You then go on to ask, well, nothing else? Yes, well, I need to be able to start a business, I want to be able to get a job, etc. I've got to make some sort of wealth. So in other words, he also wants prosperity, and the government should facilitate that you have this prosperity. So two things basically the man in the street wants out of life, out of his government, is security and prosperity. If you give him that and assure him that, be very happy. Now, we won't go into the politics of left and right wing. They all want the same thing. It's just got different methods of getting there. But the point is, that's what the person wants in this country, certainly. That would be the watchword for what he wants. So, says Rav Hirsch as follows. When we think about the Yom Tov of Pesach, we've just Lel Shemurim, we've just been taken out of Mitzrayim, And Kodesh Baruch is protecting us and Kriyas Yam Suf, the whole works. So then Pesach represents your security. You've got your security. Bereshit has demonstrated it in a million ways with Nisim, etc., and Neflois, so you can be assured that when Pesach passes, you've got your security secure. That's there in place. Well, on the 16th of Nisan, with a day after Pesach, a person has his security. And we're told to bring this Korban Omer on that day. What does the Omer represent? We'll see it later on in the Shia as well. The Omer represents a big thank you to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Of course, at the time when we were in Eretz Yisrael, didn't bring an Omer in the desert. In Eretz Yisrael, the crops are going golden brown in the fields, etc. It represents our parnosa, our wealth. And we're saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you very much. And we don't touch anything, no chodosh, until that Korban Omer is brought about midday on the 16th of Nisan. So it's very important. So the Korban Omer represents your wealth. Your wealth is also in place. So comes the 16th of Nisan, says Rav Hirsch, and you've got your security, and you've got your prosperity. What more do you want? Svartem lochem mimochas haShabbos, from this day onwards. Me'oim abiyachim asoim matznufo. When you've got your security in place, mochas haShabbos, and your wealth in place, that's when the yid starts counting. That's the beginning process. For everybody else, that's sufficient. For us, this is our beginning towards Matan Torah. Rav Hirsch, let's now move to a different idea and why I've justified, not the need justification, but justified talking about Sfiras Omer from its roots at this particular time, because last week the mon started falling back then in the desert. And the question about the Korban Omer is, why is it called Korban Omer? You know, it's a mincha. Now, we know all about minchas. There are lots of minchas that accompany lots of korbonis in the Torah, mincha. And then you have an Aseiros Eifer, a certain amount of flour that comes together with mincha. And actually, the Omer is that same measure. In fact, in Mishalach, the Torah actually says in the Pasuk that the Omer is an Aseiros Eifer. It's exactly the same amount. So all the minchas in the Torah, we are accompanied by this Aseiros Eifer. And here the Torah says, I want you to bring an Omer. It changes the language. Omer. Why Omer? The other thing is that it seems that the Sfiras Omer is somehow linked to the Omer. Now, many people make the mistake. Not, I'm sure, anybody in this room, but there are people who make the mistake. They think the Korban Omer is brought every day of the Omer. That's, of course, not true. Korban Omer is only brought once on the 16th of Nisan. But then we're told, Svaratim Lochem Mimachas HaShabbos, you start counting from then. And really, the counting mitzvah has got nothing to do with the Korban Omer mitzvah. Nothing at all, l'cha'ira, it seems. Why is it called Sfiras Omer? And it's not just a colloquialism, it's not something that we say. There are chachomim have enshrined it in the brocha. So in other words, it must be significant. If chachomim are mentioning the Omer in the Sfira, there must be a connection between those two. So those two questions are the questions I want to deal with, and from that will come out, I think, a very, very nice story about what Sfiras Omer is all about. Now, first we start with a medrash, and I won't go through this whole medrash in detail, just tell you the guts of it, which is, medrash brings lots of proofs why Korban Omer is an extremely important Omer. Rav Yochanan Omer le'olam al timitzvus Omer kal b'enecha. Make sure you treat it with the right severity, sincerity. Korban Omer is extremely important. Shali de mitzvahs, coming, Omer, zoch Avraham Avinu lirishus oretz. Because through Korban Omer that they're going to do in the future, that's why Avraham Avinu had got the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why we, Eden, have got Eretz Yisrael, because we are going to do this Korban Omer. So it seems to be extremely important. And there's a whole list of different things in Tanakh that this Medrash brings of the importance of Korban Omer and how the role it played. I'll just do one. The one about Haman. Yeah? When Haman turns up with his horse, well, not his horse, the king's horse, turns up at Mordechai's house to take him for a little ride, right? Haman turns up, and at first Mordechai's quite scared. What's going on here? And Haman says to Mordechai, what are you doing? What are you oisik in? Obviously he's got some sort of base of Medrash. And Mordechai says, we're learning about the Omer, because it actually is the 16th of Nisan. It's about when Korban Omer, Chag B'Chag, we should always learn the inyonim of the Chag on the Yom Tov itself. So Mordechai's doing that with his with his pupils. So Homer says, and he talks to him about the kemitzah, etc. And Homon in the end says, you know, your kemitzah, your little handful of dough, is going to trounce my thousands of kikari kesev that I just gave the king in order to murder all of you. You're going to beat me with that, with your little handful of dough. So you see, the oimer is something very important that it can counteract what Homon had in mind. So from all these riyas, which I can give you the reference of the Medrash and go through it, that we see that the oimer is very important. So let's just summarize where we've got to. The Korban Oimer tells us about the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam, that he gives us our parnosa year by year, and therefore we demonstrate this by bringing this Korban Oimer, and therefore that's extremely important. The Sfiras Oimer, we'll come to the Chinuch, but he tells us the Sfiras Oimer is getting us from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. It's the connection, it's a chain. Okay, so we keep connecting our Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. That's the idea of Sfiras Oimer. So what we've said is that really this word Oimer doesn't really feature very strongly. Why is the Korban Oimer called the Korban Oimer? Should be just called a Mincha, and the amount you bring should be a Sfiras Eifo. And Sfiras Oimer, what's that got to do with the Oimer Bechlal? So let's give the Oimer a little bit more prominence. Let's have a look at where it features and how it's linked strongly. Now the suggestion is that it's brought on the 16th, and there's a reason. And there is a Medrash, which goes as follows. Omar Rabbi Rachia, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Rabbi Rachia says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Emo Elohem l'Yisroel, k'sho yisi noisin lochem es hamon. When I was giving you the mon, that means in the Midbar, and you can already see what's coming and why the mon, it was important last week, and that's why we're featuring it now. Hoyisi matan, hoyisi noisin oimer lechol echaber, but I gave one oimer for every person. Hadod echsiv, oimer lagul goyles. An oimer per head. Everybody had an oimer of mon. V'achshav, and now we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael, sh'atem noisin lias oimer. Now you're giving me back an oimer, this Korban oimer on the 16th of Nisan, you're giving it to me back. Eli ela oimer echa bikulchem. I only want one oimer from all of you as a nation. Not each of you have to give an oimer. One oimer on behalf of the whole nation. And once if eloyoid, ela shel sairim. And not only that, but I won't have to ask for the most expensive oimer, which would be wheat. I just want machal behema. Yeah, sairim machal behema. Pikach, Moshe, Mazes, Yisrael, Va'oimer lehem, Ve'vesem, Es Oimer. So Moshe Rabbeinu passes the message on. The sincerity of the Oimer is, Yidin, you should know, bring that Oimer. It's terribly, terribly important. So, this is a connection here that we are getting, and we're getting a link between something else that happened in our history, one Oimer, and we've got a link with the Oimer and the Mon. Because the Mon came in units of an Oimer, and now we've got this Korban Oimer, and the Torah is particular in calling it Oimer and not anything else, not just an ordinary mincha. So the meaning of this is that for 40 years HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied our Parnosa in a miraculous manner, one Oimer, and on Friday, Lechem Mishneh, and in the Midbar, you know, we ate the Oimer, and you were meant to eat no more, no less, and wherever they went, they got this supply of food from heaven. And the mon was given to them on a plate. Yeah, it came down, it rained down from heaven. There was no involvement, no effort involved. They just went and collected it. No preparation necessary. Fully absorbed by the body, and maybe we'll come back to that as well. Fully absorbed by the body. And that also tells us something about the quality of the mon, in that it had no waste product, which means that it was kulei ruchni, it was completely ruchnius, and that was something that they needed to be mekablei Torah, because without that preparation, so they prepared themselves not only in terms of their learning and the madrega, etc., but even their bodies were prepared for matan Torah by eating this special food which had no waste product, and therefore that was also contributing to their tahara. No involvement of man whatsoever. People had nothing to do with this mon at all. No one needed to be involved, no cook, no chef, no, nothing like that at all. So in other words, what it was basically a demonstration, a 40-year demonstration, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can supply our needs, And this, of course, inculcated the emunah and the trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he can supply creatures, great and small, with everything that they need, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do that. So far, so good as far as the Midboy is concerned. But now everything's going to change. They are about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And if they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Mon will no longer be there. And in Eretz Yisrael, they're actually going to have to work for their food. They're going to have to plow, to sow, to water, to reap, to grind, to knead, to bake, etc. There's a whole process. Until you get a shtickle broit on the table, there's a whole process, and a lot of sweat and guts and tears, etc., until you get that bread on the table. There's a lot of effort and skill and know-how and all the rest of it before you actually have a piece of slice of bread on your table. And therefore, a yid might think, well, having done all that, this is my know-how, my skill, and I've got to be grateful for that as well. And the point is that, yes, we must be grateful for that as well. And it's not my skill. We're coming on to the fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us everything. And here we have a nice idea that in the Torah it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to take a tzinsenes hamon, a certain amount, it's an oim actually, an oim of mon, put it into a special jug and keep it in the Kodesh Kodoshim. And that was there in order that later on the Nevi'im, in particular Yirmiyahu, took it out and showed it to the people. When they said, look, we can't learn Torah because we are busy with our panosa, he would take it out and show it to them and tell them that Bozen is parosa vaseichem, with this mon, your forefathers got parnosa, full parnosa, and the harabesh luchim lamokim, you think you've got to do this or that in order to get your parnosa? The Roshim can give you parnosa in a million and one ways. Lots and lots of ways. You don't necessarily know the answer. Just daven, just have bitochen, and you will get parnosa. Not necessarily in the way that you think you'll get parnosa. Harabesh luchim lamokim. And therefore this was a very, very great symbol for Klal Yisrael later on. So the mitzvah of Korban HaOmer is to remember the mon, having linked together the oimer of the mon, and the korban oimer that the Torah says is to link that together. So always remember that your parnosa, which is represented by the korban oimer on an annual basis, that you're celebrating the fact that you've got parnosa by bringing this oimer, and you're not allowed to touch any of your new corn, the chodosh, until this oimer is brought about midday on the 16th of Nisan. So that symbolizes the fact that you are going to remember the mon the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered it on a daily basis. So, you know, we've got this medrash that we read before, that the Rabbeinu Shalom says, all I want from you is one omer per year, per nation, that's all. So I'm not sure that he would win the sort of Businessman of the Year award on that. But yeah, the profits aren't very great for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We got millions when you do a calculation, about 3 million people in the desert, on a daily basis for 40 years, that is a big number. That's a big number of omeres. And all we have to give back is something very, very small. And Dafka on the 16th of Nisan, this is where, in a sense, it gets very interesting in another way. Why? Why on the 16th of Nisan? Why is that date special? And the point is that we are told that the mon stopped falling in the 40th year on the 7th of Adar, an auspicious date, which is the Petira, Yom Petiras Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we know that, you know, the first bracha in Birch Zamozo and Birch Zazon, and that was a bracha that Chazal Chelas Moshe Rabbeinu composed, and it was to do with the mon. B'schus Moshe Rabbeinu, we got the mon. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the mon, Miriam was the bear, and of course Aaron was the onon. But Moshe Rabbeinu and mon are very closely linked. It's his schus that we got mon. So when Moshe Rabbeinu died on that day, on the 7th of Adar, and that's of course why the Chevra Kadishas around the world have this as a particular date, and they have this Chevra Kadisha, I don't know whether they do it in here in Manchester, but maybe some sort of commemoration of the 7th of Adar, that this was the day of Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah doesn't say it, Chazal tell us, and therefore, because on that day the mon stopped, therefore they couldn't collect any mon anymore after that, because it stopped falling. But what they did on that day, they got their normal omer of mon, and miraculously, nesvatoichnes sort of thing, nesvatoichnes, that omer of mon that they collected on the 7th of Adar lasted them 5 weeks. It lasted the rest of Adar, which was 3 weeks, and then another 2 weeks in Nisan, getting us to the 16th of Nisan. So those 5 weeks, that last omer of Mon was sufficient to satisfy them all that time. It was a great an espetoness. So therefore, their Mon actually ran out on the 16th of Nisan. On the 16th of Nisan, they stepped over, they actually had stepped over a few days before, but they now got Tevuah Se'oretz. So in other words, they got the Tevuah Se'oretz on the same day as the Mon ran out. So the 16th of Nisan acts as a sort of interface between the Mon that had now ceased and the Tevuah Se'oretz that they can now pick off and they can now use. In other words, the Torah is connecting that, the Chazal are connecting that, in that sense, that they're the same thing. One butts onto the other. The Mon ceases, the Tevuah Se'oretz starts, and the one you have to do nothing, and for the other one you have to put in great efforts. They're exactly the same. They're identical. As far as you're concerned and we're concerned, no matter what you do to get your parnosa, whether it's sitting in an office, or you're a farmer tilling the ground, or you're doing something else which is clever, the fact is that your efforts are efforts that you've got to do. We've got to do our shtadlus. But the fact that you get panos at the end of the day is exactly the same miracle as we got in the desert. And that is the message. So in other words, we've got this oimer, the korban oimer, and that's what it does. And the 60th of Nisan it meets. And we've now got a very nice togetherness between the oimer, the mon, and korban oimer. Beautifully together. However, what we haven't dealt with yet is sfiras oimer. So Be'er Yosef says, he explains the following. It's very nice. Klal Yisrael got a tremendous stimulus on the 16th of Nisan when the Omer was born. And the Gemara tells us quite a lot of stories about the enormous hishtadlus that they had to make. Yerushalayim was full at this time. Of course, being Pesach, people came to the Omer Regel, therefore Yerushalayim was full. Absolutely chock-a-block with people. And they all were mishtatev in getting that oimer together. It was not easy for various reasons. And they put in a tremendous effort. And after they put in that effort, then the oimer was brought into Beis Hamikdash, and the ceremony of the waving took place. This was a high point of the Pesach Yom Tov, after the previous night of Seder night, a high point that everyone got a tremendous raise in, and a sort of an aliyah in their ruchnias. They were tremendously stimulated, and they got the message that my panosa comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm going to go back in a week or so to my farmstead and carry on, but I've got this stimulus. But you know, stimuli don't last. This is the problem. They fade. No matter how powerful it is, no matter how forceful it is, they fade away after a time. You sort of think, well, all right, it was very enough, but it fades away. So in order to, so to speak, schlep the idea of the Omer day by day, on an individual basis, the Torah gave us a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. This is the Chiddush. Sfiras HaOmer. And that's why the Omer is linked with the Sfira as well. Because what we're trying to do is to be mamshich, to extend the Korban Omer, together with its stimulus and what it did for Klal Yisrael, we're trying to extend it day by day. So let's just get the picture. A farmer goes out into the fields and he works all day. And he comes home and he feels, done a good day's work, you know. And then he has to count the sphera. He remembers the sphera in which he mentions the omer. And therefore he recalls, you know, I've done my work for today. And I'm mentioning the omer. And I have learned and I know that the omer is connected with the omer lagolgoilis in the desert, the mon in the desert. And therefore, all the work that I've done, very nice, I've done my ashtadlus. But on the other hand, I'm reminding myself on a daily basis that my parnosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we have the Omer idea in the Sfira because it links us with Korban Omer, and Korban Omer is linked with the Mon, and therefore we have a nice package of telling us the same message that, in fact, our parnosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we therefore have this idea, and by the way, the Korban Omer itself was waved in Hanofa, was done in six directions, just like we wave around a luluf, in order to signify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in all directions, all the points of the compass, and up and down, Shemayim Ba'oretz, and so the Korban Omer also did that. May I add that there's a very nice idea within this concept of waving things around. And it's as follows, that, you know, we have apanosa, get apanosa in very many different ways. Businessmen and people who are employed, and, you know, small businessmen, they're all lots of different ways of getting parnosa. And you might think, well, what has the farmer really got to do with me sitting in my office doing big deals or whatever, property deals? What's it got to do with, I'm making my parnosa through my clever skill, etc., being able to do great deals in the business world. And that's got nothing to do with the agriculture. But the point is, firstly, I mean, just a moment's thought will tell you we've all got to eat at the end of the day, so something's got to be grown, right? So you can't actually live on the money that you make. But the point is, no matter how you make your parnosa, and no matter how much you might think, it's my skill, my brain power, what this Hanofa is telling us in all directions is no matter what you do, doesn't really matter, ultimately it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are relying on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to you. And he's given you the know-how, he's given you the skills, he's given you the koyach to get up in the morning and go to the office and do whatever you have to do. And that's a very important idea. So it's the Seiris. One last thing I want to end off with, which is very, very nice, I think, and that is, we've talked about the sphera and the counting of the sphera, and one of the things that we have in Halacha is that our minik, certainly our psal, is that we count days and we count weeks. Right? 36. Do the arithmetic, yeah, it's 5 weeks and a couple of days. So we count days and weeks. Why do we have to count days and weeks? I mean, you can do simple arithmetic and therefore the days would be sufficient to tell you what day you are. If you really want to know about the weeks, you can divide by 7, etc., and then you get the number of weeks. Why do we have to formulate that in the language that we use, that the days and the weeks? And what the Be'er Yosef suggests is, and in fact, it's a reflection, and here we see another riot of the connection with the Mon, it's a reflection of what the Mon did. It's exactly what the Mon did. The Mon fell on a daily basis. But on Friday, something else happened. On Friday, there were two portions. So in other words, it recognized the weeks. And so our counting reflects exactly what the Mon did. So what we've done is, we have actually connected the Sfira Sa'aymer through the carbon ionic, back to the Mon, and we've got the same sort of formula, the same idea. And therefore, this is, I think, a very nice putting together. So last week was the first week, that first time that the Mon fell, and it fell from then, of course, the next 40 years, but the main reason that we're actually talking about it is the fact that that Torah had to be given to people who purified themselves, and they did so, both by Kalman and Sphere and all those midas, etc., that go with it, and you know the formula that every day a day has a name and every week has a name. When we put them together, we get this Hoyd Shabahoyd, etc., which was like Ba'ima, Gvura Shabahoyd, etc., and all the different combinations, the 49 combinations, and so we can actually stimulate and heighten one of the midas every day, and that's Keneged, the 48. Kinyas HaTorah, the 48 ways in which we coin the Torah, and on the 49th day we consolidate all those. That is the job, and that is what we are after. And we see in the Sphere of Sa'ima that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us our Parnosa. We also recognize that we've got to have an Aliyah in Kedusha, and onward and upward towards Matan Torah, Yemes Hashem, Bimheira Yemein.
Amen. Amen.
Very good.
No, I'm not finished.
Don't finish.
Don't finish.